The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a brand new week. We made it through Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good one. A quiet one, but a good one nonetheless. So we have a great show for you today. A busy one. And I got to talk quickly because here's what happened. Over the Thanksgiving weekend, I, of course, cooked. No turkey here because we're doing the vegan thing most of the time anyway. We actually had tortilla pizzas on Thanksgiving night because we actually had king crab the next night. We did. So once in a while, I cheat. There you go. Anyway, and over the weekend, I spoke to my friend Brad Friedman. But we don't get to talk a whole lot during the week, and he's rarely ever on the show because Brad tapes his show, the Bradcast, at the same time I'm on the air. So it makes it difficult. And his show is very work intensive because I do it live, but he pre-produces it. And as I've learned when I've guest hosted for him. But today, Brad Friedman is my guest for most of the hour for good reason. I'm sure you've heard some of the craziness coming from, you know, Trump's crack legal team, or I should say legal team on crack. Because it sure seems that way. They actually called themselves the elite strike force of Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and Sidney Powell. And these people are batshit crazy. And frankly, I honestly have not spent a lot of time following the story that they're pushing. Because number one, we know it's all
bullshit.
Right. It's all nonsense. And when I heard Sidney Powell do the whole thing about Hugo Chavez and the communists in Cuba, and it's, I just, you know, I tuned out because they're nuts. They are batshit fucking crazy. But when I spoke to Brad, and he's like, have you gotten my alerts lately? Because if you read the Brad blog at bradblog.com, and you get on his mailing list, he does send out alerts. And I did. I had read something about those Dominion voting machines, which I remember vaguely from about a decade ago when Brad used to cover problems with these electronic voting machines. Brad Friedman is one of the best investigative reporters out there dealing with election issues, dealing with election integrity, dealing with electronic voting machines and the like. And about, well, 10 to 12 years ago, Brad did a whole series on those electronic voting machines and the lack of security among them. And what he wrote back 10 to 12 years ago was accurate at the time. But then again, things have changed in the ensuing years. But he's been getting tons of web traffic because the whole story about Dominion, which he'll explain in a couple of minutes, all goes back. It traces back to Brad Friedman's Brad blog and his reporting from about a decade ago, except they got it all wrong. Brad got it right, but Giuliani and Ellis and Sidney Powell don't know what the hell they're talking about. So I asked Brad to come on and fill us in on this. Meanwhile, today, Arizona, the governor of Arizona certified the election there. Here, this happened.
The votes have been tabulated. All 15 counties have certified their results. In addition to certification, with Senator-elect Mark Kelly winning the general election, I will be signing official documentation today that will be hand-delivered to the Secretary of the United States Senate so that Arizona's newest senator can be sworn into office as swiftly as possible.
Good. So Mark Kelly should be sworn in by Wednesday because, you know, he's filling a seat that was vacated. So filling out the term. Anyway, so when I found that clip online, then I looked at the responses to it. It was on Twitter. And all of these people are going nuts. Here's the claim from the crazies, from the crack, I'm sorry, Elite Strike Force legal team. Crack on top. That's what I should call them. The Elite Strike Force legal team on crack, because they must be smoking something. Basically, what they're alleging in Arizona is that each, quote, Democrat candidate got 35,000 fraudulent votes attached to their tally. It's all nuts. None of this happened. And by the way, if you haven't seen it yet, last night on 60 Minutes, Chris Krebs, he's the former director of CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Administration that dealt with all that stuff. He went on 60 Minutes last night and reiterated that there was nothing. There was no fraud there. There was no faulty algorithms, that everything ran smoothly. In fact, this was the most secure election in many, many years. And the reason he points to is paper ballots. There's a paper trail. And where they have done these recounts, what it's shown is that there was no anomaly. In fact, Wisconsin today finished their recounts over the weekend, and today certified their election, and costing Donald Trump $3 million to find out that Joe Biden actually increased his lead by, I want to say, like 132 votes in the two counties they recounted. Yeah. So you see where this is going. They're an opposite world. But I want to hone in on what this crack, this legal team on crack is doing. So for that, we turn to the man who not only writes the Brad blog, but hosts the Brad cast. Yeah, he likes the sound of his name and voice. Anyway, take it away. Well, Nicole and Brad. And pardon my stuff. It was Saturday when we recorded this. All right. So just keep that in mind. No makeup. Here we go. Well, what a treat we have today. Brad Friedman himself joins us on the line. Hello, Brad.
Nobody ever says it's a treat when I show up, Nicole, so thank you.
Well, it is a treat. It is a treat because today you're going to get to explain something to us that I can't figure out. But at least you can tell us the oranges of the Dominion story. By that, I mean the origins. And the Dominion story I'm talking about is this craziness from Donald Trump's so-called legal team of Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and Jenna, what's her last name? Jenna what?
Jenna Ellis.
So it's funny because we were talking the other day off the air, as we do occasionally, and you mentioned that your website, bradblog.com, has been getting all kinds of traffic lately. And that's due to the fact that, you know, people know that in case they don't, they will now, that for well over a decade, almost two, you have been covering the news, but with a real focus on election integrity, voting, the voting process. For years, we were bitching about the touchscreen, unverifiable voting machines that you covered like nobody else. And back in the day, you went deep into this company called Dominion. Now, I remember us talking about ESNS and a couple of others. Honestly, I don't remember Dominion. I remember ESNS because I was down here in Florida and we had those horrible machines. But Dominion is one that you covered some years ago, and this is the basis of their claims of voter fraud?
Yes. Well, their basis, they're making several different charges. They're claiming a nationwide voter fraud conspiracy, and that would be where voters actually commit fraud by putting in millions, by their count, millions of fake ballots that shouldn't have been cast. That's part of their scheme that they're putting forward. And the other part is an international conspiracy that is headed up by the Dominion Voting Company, another voting company named Smartmatic, Venezuela, Hugo Chavez.
Right, I heard that.
And Who, yes, and that is the basis for which they have turned to the Brad blog. Yes, you're right. I have been doing investigative reporting on all of the voting machine companies for almost 20 years at this point. And they started a couple of weeks ago when, you know, they desperately wanted to figure out how it is that they could possibly lose the election that everyone said they were going to lose and that they ended up losing just as everyone said they would.
Right.
They couldn't accept that, so they had to figure out, well, what must have, how was this stolen from us? And somehow they landed at bradblog.com, where I've been covering this stuff for years, and the voting machine companies in question for years, and they took a bunch of my investigative reports, which, let me say right off the bat, I stand by. I still stand by today from 2008 and 2010, though they then bastardized those stories to sort of fit whatever nonsense they want to push out. Now, there are some truth to it that they are concerned about and that they should be concerned about, but for years and years, remember, they completely ignored these concerns. As a matter of fact, they told me that, the, you know, these were just conspiracy theories and sore loserism.
Yeah.
One of the last tweets I ever received from now dead Andrew Breitbart was him. He used to love to make fun of me for reporting on Diebold. And so if it's not the last, it's near one of the last tweets that he sent me saying, hey, the Brad blog, Diebold, 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 went on and on. And then he says, boo, at the end.
Oh, my.
So they thought this stuff was all stuff and nonsense until now, when, of course, they don't. It's a worldwide international conspiracy to steal the election from them. So, there's several different companies, voting system companies, that they have sort of all conflated. The reason you've never or hadn't heard much about Dominion is because they're actually fairly new. The big companies in the U.S. used to be, of course, ES&S
right.
was the largest and still is.
Uh-huh.
Then there was Diebold.
Diebold, of course.
Then there was, remember them?
Yes, I do.
And,
hard to forget.
Way,
yeah.
I can. They actually, it's Diebold still exists, but
yeah.
their election division was called Diebold Election System, Inc. And so they refer to themselves as DESI, which for some reason, I've always had a difficult time describing
yes.
them as.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't use that name.
Gotcha.
But anyway, so that, yeah, there was Diebold and then Sequoia,
right?
And then Hart InterCivic, and those were sort of the four companies that did most of the private vendoring of our election systems for many years in this country. And Diebold was so bad at it and so corrupt at it that eventually ES&S bought them up.
Oh.
But the Department of Justice said, no, that's a problem. That will make ES&S too powerful. Now, this is a Justice Department that hasn't done anything for antitrust for years and years. But in this case, I think it was around 2010, they actually forced ES&S to divest of some of the Diebold assets, which were bought up by a company named Dominion. Which is, by the way, a Canadian firm.
Okay.
So now you've got Canadians. Now you got a lot of people in this country who are very, very concerned about foreign companies having, you know, this kind of access to our election infrastructure. But for some reason, they're not worried about Canada, or at least they haven't been.
Okay.
I am. I'm frankly worried about American companies being in our public elections. But for some reason, they've just overlooked Dominion there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another company I mentioned named Sequoia.
Right.
And Sequoia, which was actually based down in Florida, for a time. They were owned by a company named Smartmatic, which was tied to then President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. Now, Smartmatic owned Sequoia until some folks in Congress on both the right and the left, most notably Carolyn Maloney of New York, said, hey, why is Venezuela involved in our elections in the U.S., the Smartmatic company? And they stuck the CFIUS investigation on them. That's a division of the Treasury Department that does secret investigations of companies, foreign investment in companies that are involved in American infrastructure. And this investigation, being tied to Venezuela and Hugo Chavez, resulted in Sequoia and its managers buying Sequoia back, buying itself back from Smartmatic to become an independent company. Are you with me so far?
I think so. Okay.
Okay. And then, and believe me, I'm simplifying all of
it. Right. So just to make it clear.
Sequoia is a company of its own, in theory, until I found out that, no, they didn't actually purchase themselves completely away from Smartmatic. They pretended they did. It got CFIUS, the investigation, the Treasury Department investigation, off its back. It got Carolyn Maloney and Congress off of Sequoia's back. But in fact, Sequoia continued to be tied to Smartmatic because Smartmatic owned the intellectual property for all of the voting machines that Sequoia had all over the country at the time, and they supplied about let's call it a third or so of the voting systems across the country.
Okay.
And Sequoia lied about that, and they lied about it to the public. They pretended they had a clean break from Venezuela and Smartmatic and this, you know, Hugo Chavez-tied company, but they didn't. They were lying. I reported as much in an exclusive report. I caught them lying about all of this. It's all very well documented. They were lying in court cases about it. They were asked by the city of Chicago and Cook County about their ties to Venezuela, and the CEO of the company of Sequoia at the time, a guy by the name of Jack Blaine, he lied about it. I exposed it all. The people who even worked at Sequoia at the time had no idea. It was quite a brouhaha back in 2009-2010. Jack Blaine, the CEO, called a secret conference call with all of the employees of Sequoia where they demanded to know, hey, are we still tied to Venezuela? Jack Blaine admitted, yes, we are. They still own the intellectual property, the IP. And it was a secret conference call that, of course, I was listening to. And so I have all of the evidence of him admitting to his own employees of this. Okay, that's Sequoia. And I covered that at the time. And then finally, Sequoia was a struggling business. So Dominion bought up Sequoia.
Okay.
That after they had already taken on, parts of Diebold and so forth. So all of a sudden, Dominion is a powerhouse. Well, Dominion buys Sequoia and tells everyone, hey, we have purchased, all of Sequoia, all of their assets. And I went to Dominion and said, hey, actually, Sequoia doesn't own all of those assets. That Venezuelan company, Smartmatic, does.
Mm-hmm.
And Smartmatic did not sell its IP. And so Dominion immediately, right out of the gate, lied about the ownership of Sequoia. So they're all a bunch of liars. All of these companies are all a bunch of liars. It's all well documented. It is sort of that set of stories then that Sidney Powell, who was for a few short minutes serving as part of the Team Trump legal team along with Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis and so forth, she comes out and makes all of these claims about how all of our elections were being stole by Dominion and somehow by Smartmatic. Mind you, that Venezuelan company Smartmatic, until this year, had no business whatsoever in U.S. elections. Smartmatic and Dominion are actually the competitors, but somehow Team Trump in their desperation has made them one and the same, has taken Dominion, which, yes, runs all of the elections for all of the voting systems, for example, in Georgia, which just bought a new Dominion system in Georgia this year for the first time. And has somehow said, well, anywhere that Dominion is, in about a third of the country, that's actually secretly Smartmatic from Venezuela and dead Hugo Chavez stealing the election from Donald Trump.
Oh, my goodness. And so, and you're the one who was reporting on this stuff back in the day. And so that's if somebody goes looking for stories on Dominion and Sequoia and what's the name of the Venezuelan company, it's going to take them back to Bradblog.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. I am behind the entire conspiracy theory scandal to steal the 2020 election for Joe Biden from Donald Trump, apparently.
This is hysterical.
And at the time, there was a lot of people, you know, Huffington Post, it's kind of amusing because I've been seeing stories lately that even the mainstream corporate media at one time believed elections could be stolen. Brad Friedman at Huffington Post report, now Huffington Post had run, you know, had republished my blog exclusive over at Huffington Post.
So now they're crediting Huffington Post.
Corporate media agrees that elections could be stolen.
Oh my God!
Well, see how this works?
Yeah, I see. This is just too absurd. But it, you know, hey, welcome to 2020.
Because and by the way, there's a lot of other fun stuff that you know has been making its way into the story along the way. For example, the founder of Smartmatic,
that
Venezuelan company, a few years before all of this that I'm talking about, as that investigation was going on into the Smartmatic and Sequoia by the CFIUS, the Treasury Department, and Congress, the president and founder of Smartmatic went down in a small plane crash and died.
Oh, God.
And it was right after this investigation started. I reported on it at the time. I don't believe I said that he was assassinated or targeted or anything else. I just reported on the facts of it. Well, I've seen this report at bradblog.com come up all over the place over the past week. And, of course, the wing nuts are out there pointing to this as evidence that they're trying to hide what happened in this election theft of 2020 by killing the president of Smartmatic
10 years ago.
Apparently not noticing that it is a 12-year-old story.
Well, I guess that's how
it just happened on Tuesday.
Right. So I guess that's how Hugo Chavez was involved as well, even though he's been dead for 8 years or something like that.
Says you.
I hear you. So this woman, we're speaking with Brad Friedman, who finds himself in the middle of this Donald Trump's lawsuits against our election integrity. And, the ironic thing is that according to the interview that I did on Friday, according to the guy who was just fired by Donald Trump for saying, the guy who ran the cybersecurity safety division, whatever it was called, CISA or something, saying that this was the safest, most secure election ever, and there was no evidence of any fraud or any malpractice or anything like that. That's why he was fired. But on your show, even on the broadcast on Friday, Ari Berman agreed with him that this was the safest, most secure election in years. When for years, for almost two decades, Brad Friedman, you've been railing against these electronic voting machines, mostly because there's no verifiable paper trail. Well, maybe this year's was so secure and safe because we had so many people voting on paper ballots. So they are verifiable. Is that right? Or no?
Yes and no. And I might take exception, and I heard your excellent interview, by the way, with Ari Berman. I might take some exception with what Chris Krebs,
the guy
who headed up CISA until he was thrown away.
Okay.
You know, and this is the part, as I mentioned, there is a nugget of truth to what the Republicans are now concerned with after years of not being concerned, which is that, You know, when they say, when we say, you know, there's no evidence of Seth theft via, you know, some sort of a cyber means or another, that's true. The question is, who has actually looked? And even if they looked, would they be able to see that evidence? And that is the problem with these systems. And you mentioned, so, you know, Chris Krebs says this is the safest, most secure in U.S. history.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure what he's basing that on. I mean, the entire cybersecurity infrastructure, whatever it's called, security agency that he headed up, yeah, was only formed 3.5 years ago.
Right.
So this is the first presidential election that they've ever overseen. So maybe it was the most secure in CISA history. I'm not sure. We don't actually know, and that's the problem with these systems. You referenced paper ballots.
Yes.
And in fact, we had more hand-marked paper ballots than ever before because we did so much absentee voting.
Right.
So that's good news.
Really good news.
But you can't just say paper ballots, because the problem is, in Georgia, for example, the Secretary of State there, a guy by the name of Brad Raffensperger, giving all Brads a very bad name, he spent more than $100 million on a brand new touchscreen voting system that he forced every county across the state to use. That after a federal judge last year found their old Diebold touchscreen voting system to be insecure, unverifiable, and therefore unconstitutional. And she banned that system from ever being used again. Well, we were happy to get rid of those touchscreens, and voting system experts and cybersecurity experts said, great, now you've got to buy a new system for your entire state, because they do it all across the entire state. They don't do it county by county. He buys the entire system. And so everybody begged him to use a hand-marked paper ballot system. Instead, he bought a system from Dominion. And instead of a hand-marked paper ballot system, he calls it a paper ballot system. But that's only because it's a touchscreen that then prints out a computer-marked summary of the voters' votes. And it may print it out right, it may print it out wrong, we don't know. There's never any way to tell. Recent studies find that 93% of voters do not notice when the computer has changed a vote on their printout. That's what voters have to use at the precinct.
I see.
All across the entire state of Georgia. And he even threatened to sue one county who said, no, we want to use hand-marked paper ballots. Instead, he threatened to sue them got them back in line. So that's the guy who they're now turning into an enemy, who he's a Republican. He's a Trumpy Republican, Brad Raffensperger. He's the guy who now Republicans are claiming
they want him to resign. They're saying he's in cahoots with Brian Kemp, the Republican governor.
That somehow they stole the election from Donald Trump for Joe Biden. And then that Sidney Powell character, she went on Newsmax TV last weekend and apparently went just a step too far.
Okay.
Because
You sent me clips that I think this is one of them, but explain what this is.
Actually, it speaks for itself. If you have it there, this is the one from Newsmax.
Got it.
And this appears to be the one where she went just a step too far that got the Team Trump to throw her under the bus.
Oh, no. All right. So this is Sidney Powell, otherwise known as batshit crazy. Here we go.
Georgia's probably going to be the first state I'm going to blow up, and Mr. Kemp and the Secretary of State need to go with it, because they're in on the Dominion scam with their last-minute purchase or award of a contract to Dominion of $100 million. The State Bureau of Investigation for Georgia ought to be looking into the financial benefits received by Mr. Kemp and the Secretary of State's family about that time.
Just to clarify, you're saying that Governor Kemp, who's been a longtime ally of the president, is directly involved because of financial benefit in the conspiracy to defeat the president in Georgia?
We have certainly been told that there is evidence of that, and it would warrant an investigation. I can't give you any more details than that now, but it would certainly warrant an investigation.
Oh, my God.
Well, if she's been told, that's just as good as, you know, as good as nabbing the crooks. I mean, so she has no actual evidence. Now, mind you, I have been reporting on that sale she's talking about. She describes it as a last-minute purchase of these. It was sort of last-minute in that it took until last year for the federal judge in Georgia to ban the previous Diebold touchscreens they used. So, yes, they made this purchase. I have reported on it incredibly critically because it's a terrible system. It's this Rube Goldberg system that literally involves five different computers for you to be able to show up at the precinct and cast one single vote.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding. It's just, it's insane. It's terrible. The federal lawsuit that got rid of the previous Diebold machines continues to this day trying to get rid of these new terrible Dominion touchscreen systems. So I've been highly critical, very critical of Brad Raffensperger and Brian Kemp in this whole thing, but there is no evidence to my knowledge. Nobody has told me, Sidney Powell, that Brian Kemp and Brad Raffensperger's family was getting paid off by Dominion. Who knew? That seems like a pretty serious charge. Kind of seems like you ought to have evidence for it before you actually produce it. But what do I know? I'm just a conspiracy theorist blogger, apparently.
Apparently. So, Sidney Powell, had you ever heard of her before?
I had, because she represents, she was the
Michael
new
Flynn.
Lawyer representing Michael Flynn.
Michael Flynn. She was the Michael Flynn lawyer. Oh, my God. How do they come up with these geniuses?
They show up on Fox News.
Fox News shows up with
these geniuses, because then when they show up on Fox News, that's pretty much a straight line to the White House,
of course,
to represent the president himself or any of his criminal conspirators like Michael Flynn. She wasn't the original lawyer for Michael Flynn. He had a real lawyer, an actual lawyer, who told him to do the right thing and to cop a guilty plea, which he did several times before Sidney Powell came onto the case and said, "Oh, nope, Your Honor, we change our mind. Michael Flynn is not guilty. He was set up." And she's the one who began flipping that whole Michael Flynn case, did such a great job that she was hired by Team Trump for this particular thing, and they stayed with her. And Trump himself says that she is on our team, on our legal team, in a tweet from November 14, which apparently is no longer operative because Jenna Ellis, a few days ago, after what you just heard on Newsmax, where she went after Kemp and Raffensperger, after she, they said, "Oh, Sidney Powell has never been on our legal team. She's working for herself."
Right. She's there next to Rudy Giuliani. She was at the Four Seasons landscaping, if I remember correctly, because that's the only one of these circuses that I saw. And I did happen to see that.
You didn't see the one where the embalming fluid was coming out of
Giuliani's head? Well, I saw that afterwards. I saw, because how could you not, right? But the first one at Four Seasons, when she started talking about Hugo Chavez, I'm thinking, what door did I go through, or did I? What kind of acid did I eat?
So you welcome to the Brad blog zone.
Yes. So you sent me. We heard the one clip of Sidney Powell on Newsmax. You sent one from the hair dye presser, which was really weird because they were inside the Republican National Committee headquarters. It was that hot in there, or was just Rudy having a hot flash or something? I don't know.
Hard to say, but actually, it was a pretty small room. They had a lot of people in there in the middle of a pandemic, mind you. And that's where she started. That's where she really came into her own, and not only added Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, but then she added a whole bunch of other countries as well.
Okay, so this is Sidney Powell at that momentous occasion at the RNC headquarters, where Rudy's oil started leaking out of where his brain should be. Sidney Powell here.
The entire election, frankly, in all the swing states should be overturned, and the legislatures should make sure that the electors are selected for Trump, and it's going to have to follow the constitutional provisions that it go be decided according to the amendment.
Oh, my God.
Let's turn it to Smartmatic and Dominion. Are they or are they not linked?
So the answer is they're not linked.
Right.
That actually wasn't the press conference clip you played.
Oh,
there. That
it wasn't.
Was Sidney Powell on the Lou Dobbs show.
Oh, yes, it was. Yes.
Now, where she's saying that the way to deal with this is to use the amendment. She's not even sure what amendment she's talking about.
Okay.
She's talking about the 12th Amendment, I believe. But basically, the notion, and this is still in play, by the way. I know a lot of people think it's over and moved on, and it probably won't work, but it is still in play, and this is what the Trump administration is trying to do. They're trying to get to the Supreme Court to get a finding from the court that says, as according to the Elections Clause in the Constitution, the state legislatures determine the time, place, and manner for elections. And their argument is that only the state legislature can make any rules, laws, procedures, regulations having to do with elections, and that if the governor or the secretary of state or even a state court or a county election official makes any rule whatsoever, that is unconstitutional according to the U.S. Constitution, can be thrown out. Only the state legislature can do it, and therefore, under the 12th Amendment of the Constitution, the state legislature can come out tomorrow and announce, we have decided that this election was done illegally, and therefore we are going to give the state of Pennsylvania's electors to Donald Trump instead of Joe Biden.
Yeah, but yesterday, the federal appeals court not only rejected that, the injunction to overturn the certification of Pennsylvania's results, it was the three-judge panel from the Third Circuit Court of Appeals who turned it down with a scathing opinion. Two of the three judges were appointed by George W. Bush. The third, the one who wrote the opinion, is a Trump appointee. And it was a scathing, I'm reading from the Washington Post, in a scathing 21-page opinion, the Third Circuit Court said the Trump campaign's challenge of the district court's decision had no merit. He said, charges of unfairness are serious, but calling an election unfair does not make it so. Charges require specific allegations and then proof. We have neither here. Voters, not lawyers, choose the president. Ballots, not briefs, decide elections. So this one's dead. So what are they pursuing now? They want to bring this one to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. What makes you think it's dead? Just because they lost. Just because they lost at the U.S. District Court level. Just because they lost at the Third Circuit level from three Republican judges, one of them Donald Trump. Not just lost, but got shredded.
Yes.
What makes you think it is over? Are you not paying attention to this guy?
No.
Jenna Ellis went out the very day and tweeted, on to SCOTUS.
Yes. Right. Yes, she did.
And Donald Trump was asked just a day or two ago, about these cases, and he says it's all going very well. So they are going to the U.S. Supreme Court, which has been stolen and, yes, packed with Donald Trump appointees.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the three of them are already on record as saying they believe that only the legislature can make election rules, election laws. So that's two of the three, and that would be Kavanaugh and Gorsuch.
Oh, God.
Alito has previously suggested as much. Thomas will go along with anything. That gives them four votes right there.
Shit.
John Roberts is not batshit crazy.
No.
So he'll probably go along with the
he'll go with the liberals,
non-batshit
right.
crazy wing of the party.
That's and it leaves it all up to Amy. Amy Coney Barrett. That's how she sounds. Amy Coney Barrett. That's how she says her name. She's like a Stepford wife, but
yeah.
robotic. Like but with a squeaky voice, like maybe she inhaled too much hydrogen or what's it? Helium. Helium.
Yeah.
Amy Coney Barrett.
That's a very good Amy Coney Barrett impression, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
Yeah.
Much better than your Donald Trump impression.
Oh, is it?
Note.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hardly ever do that anymore just because it kind of turns my stomach every time I hear it.
Yeah, I know. It's ripped your nasal passages wide open. I understand. You can't continue that sort of thing for too many years.
No.
So it all comes down to her. Now, she may, if she's smart, and by the way, I see no evidence that she is, but if she's smart, she'll recuse. She'd have every
yes.
reason to say, oh, I was, you know, just appointed by this
mm-hmm.
guy. I should not get involved.
Right.
Then we end up, it's 4-4.
That would be what an honorable justice would do, is mm-hmm. recuse him or herself.
Right.
Because
and
they
I
shouldn't.
No evidence
right.
of that either. So, you know, it really is up to her. If that decision is made, it's a radical theory. It was actually has never been agreed upon by a majority of the court. It did come out of the 2000 election in Florida, and Justice Rehnquist actually talked about it and talked about, because remember, these guys are now pretending to be constitutionalists, originalists, textualists. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If it's written in the Constitution, we take it word for word, literally. That's it. End of story. And the Constitution does say the state legislature shall determine the time, place, and manner of elections. Well, if it says the state legislature should do these things, that means nobody else can. And anybody else who tries to make any election law is violating the U.S. Constitution. That's the strict constructionist textualist reading. Which, by the way,
yes.
Amy Coney Barrett says that she is.
Right. But if she is, then does she also think that African Americans are 3/5 of a human being?
Well, she might, except that part of the Constitution has now been struck and replaced.
Oh,
so if you believe in the Constitution, apparently you can believe that, you know, there can be new amendments to the Constitution.
But then that's changing it. Then it's not the original text.
But the problem is with that theory, amongst other things,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, it's a crackpot theory, but they might have the 5 votes they need to get it passed. The problem with it is that, you know, the Constitution also says that Congress shall pass laws for taxation, that Congress is responsible for taxation.
Right.
Well, if they go with this theory that only the legislature of a state, you know, that means that Pennsylvania can, with a gerrymandered Republican state legislature, can come out and pass a resolution that the electors shall go to Donald Trump. The governor cannot veto that, remember, because it's up to the state legislature. So the governor has no power to veto such a law under this theory. So in that same way, if that's what Amy Coney Barrett and the rest of them believe, well, Congress shall have the power of taxation. That means Congress can raise or lower taxes anytime they want, and the president cannot veto it.
Ooh. Okay.
That's how insane this theory is, if you wish to be a constitutionalist text textualist in regard to this.
So question for you, Brad Friedman, if and you know, I was thinking, well, the Supreme Court would have to take the case, but it only takes, I think, four of them to hear the case, four of them to agree to it. And they've got four, at least four wingnuts over there. So say they hear it. Who represents Trump? Giuliani and Ellis?
Let's see. They would be, well, if it was a Pennsylvania case, yeah, Giuliani is the lead lawyer.
Oh, God.
So he's going to have to get an extra case of shoe dye so that he looks his best at the Supreme Court. Although, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Supreme Court is still on Zoom hearings.
Yeah. So. Oh, right. And they don't have cameras anyway, so it's only audio only anyway. Yeah.
Right. And in theory, by the way, I was going to say, if they're suing, I don't know, if they're suing the U.S., then Donald Trump's own Solicitor General would be on the other side of Rudy Giuliani? I'm not sure.
See,
That's how insane all of this is. But
oh my God.
Donald Trump thinks this is going well.
Yes.
And a lot of folks have moved on, and maybe they're right to do so, but this stuff is still very much alive. And, you know, I don't know if you saw the article by Chris Marshall in Salon the other day.
No.
Longtime Democratic strategist, you know, who cited the Nightmare on Elm Street and the Friday the 13th movies, you know, and there were nine of them. In each one, you know, Freddy or Jason was killed. And then they walk away and leave the axe sitting right there by his hand, and they move on to the next thing, only to be surprised later.
Yeah, when
so,
he comes back.
You know, if you think he got rid of Donald Trump, you might want to, you know, take that loaded gun out of his hand after you think he's dead.
Yeah. Well, we should do that anyway. Wow. Thanks, Brad. I was feeling good. So Sidney Powell, though, is no longer involved. So are they still claiming Hugo Chavez fixed the election?
Well, yeah, she of course she's still involved. You must be mistaken because they said she wasn't.
That's
where you got confused.
They fired her.
Pretending she's not part of the team. Well, fired, I mean, can you fire somebody who's not being paid? Right. I don't even know if she was being paid. I don't know that Rudy Giuliani is being paid.
Oh, no, I heard Rudy say that Donald told him that when it's all over, they'll figure it out.
Right. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Good thinking. These guys are great businessmen. Don't
yes.
forget.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure this is going to work out very well for Rudy. He'll get tons of money. So, she's very much still involved. She is still taking a whole bunch of donations at her website, which I think is defendtherepublic.org.
Oh, God.
Where over the weekend, she filed what she calls the Kraken lawsuits. Because at this meeting, at the press conference, the hair dye press conference, afterwards, Jenna Ellis, referring to Sidney Powell's promises, said, release the Kraken. And they've described these as the Kraken lawsuits that are going to take it all down. And they filed two huge lawsuits in Georgia and in Michigan. And they are a disaster because right off the bat, they misspell the word district twice right on the first, you know, the first line of the thing. The Michigan case, apparently they forgot to include spaces. So all the words run together throughout the entire thing.
Oh, my God.
There are grammatical errors. There are sentences that just stop. But there is pages and pages and pages of claims and affidavits and or references in any event to affidavits. We haven't actually seen those. But she is suing in Georgia and Pennsylvania. Now, mind you, all they have to do is get to the Supreme Court with anything, any of these cases. It doesn't matter. They just need to get to the Supreme Court and get a finding from five justices that it's up to legislatures and no one else to decide, you know, how elections go and who gets the electors and so on and so forth.
But that's okay, so say they do that. Say they go to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says, you are correct. Pennsylvania's election is moot. It's thrown out. Still doesn't give Donald Trump the victory. In his recount in Wisconsin this weekend, for which he paid $3 million, at least in Milwaukee County, is complete, and it increased Joe Biden's lead by 130-some-odd votes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Okay, so they win this case in Pennsylvania. Biden can lose Pennsylvania and still win the Electoral College.
As you recall, there are a number of gerrymandered state legislatures, including mm-hmm. Pennsylvania's, controlled by Republicans, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, controlled by Republicans, Michigan, controlled by Republicans. All three of those states currently have a Democratic governor who, in theory, would veto any such effort. But remember, it's no longer up to the governor. It's up to the state legislatures. They can do this by themselves. And so this can be done in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in Wisconsin. It can be done in Georgia. It can be done in Arizona. They can either try to award their electors to a Trump slate, or they can say, oh, the election is completely bogus. We have to throw out our results entirely, all of which, as per the 12th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, ends up throwing things to the U.S. House to decide who will be president.
Oh, God.
And it's not decided by a majority of the House, where Democrats enjoy a majority. It's each state gets one vote.
Yeah.
And that one vote is based on who has the majority of the delegation, and Republicans control more state delegations.
Right.
So, you know, Wyoming, with its 600,000 people,
has as much as California.
As California, even though you could fit 66 Wyomings into one California, they still get the same vote. And by the way, that's a problem even when we're not talking about the Electoral College. That's a problem any old day. The fact that, you know, California should have the power of 66 Wyomings, and we nonetheless each have two senators.
That is true. That is frighteningly true.
That's a minority rule. Our discussion for another day.
Oh, my God. Well, great. Thanks so much, Brad. So this is all your fault. Brad at bradblog.com with your angry letters. Unbelievable. So I guess it ain't over yet. Donald Trump can still fuck us all over, just as he has for the past 4 years.
Well, he's certainly going to try. Why would he stop now? And, you know, with evidence, hard evidence like you have from the Brad blog, how could you ignore it?
Now, exactly.
By the way, once again, I should note, I stand by absolutely everything that I reported back then. It is completely accurate then. It is completely accurate now. However, it does not say
what they're saying it
like
does.
What they say
right.
it says.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're taking your reporting, totally twisting it, misconstruing it, using it for their purposes, and pushing out bullshit.
Correct. Now, last thought here for you. Well, mm-hmm. two last thoughts.
Okay.
One, I have put out an invitation right after the election, when they started focusing in on the voting machines and the concerns about Dominion and all mm-hmm. of that, who is not actually tied to Smartmatic at all. But when they started putting that out, I put out an invitation to Republicans. I said, hey, I agree with you. If you're really worried about these private voting system vendors in our public elections
yes.
and having the type of obscene control that they do, then please join me in inviting or in demanding that only hand-marked paper ballots shall be used in the upcoming critical Georgia Senate, U.S. Senate runoff elections,
mm-hmm.
which are critical, will determine the control of the U.S. Senate. If they're really concerned about Dominion, join me, demand hand-marked paper ballots only,
mm-hmm.
and demand that they are hand-counted publicly on election night, so we can't have any of these questions that they are torturing everybody with.
Oh, I'm sure you got overwhelming response. You got overwhelming response to that, right?
Well, actually, I did.
Really?
Not from any, not from any Republicans, but, you know, tons of Democrats and non-Republicans. There's a few Republicans who seem to agree, but very, very few. You would think that Sidney Powell would be out there saying, I agree with Brad Friedman. We need to get this dangerous Dominion out of the election to determine the control of the Senate. We need all hand-marked paper ballots, hand-counted on election night on January 5 in Georgia.
Yeah.
So far, they have not taken me up on that invitation, but it is pinned to the top of my Twitter feed at TheBradBlog. I hope you will use it, retweet it, share it with your friends and family and enemies, and bring them all together. Because I'm not actually kidding about any of that. I would love to see that, and I would love to see Republicans join that effort, because that's the only way we are going to have elections in this country that the losers can walk away knowing that they have actually lost. So I've been trying to make two really important points about all of this. One, just because an election can be stolen with computer software in such a way that it can't be detected and so forth, that is still true. It was true in 2010. It's still true now. So the right-wingers saying, you believed it back in 2010, but you don't believe it now.
No, I believe it
then and now.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
There's just no evidence for it right now. But
right. It can happen.
Absolutely happen.
Absolutely.
Just because it can happen doesn't mean it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
The other point to keep in mind is that we need a voting and election system that, even if it is 100% secure and accurate, the public needs to know, needs to be able to know that it was 100% secure and accurate. Because if we don't have a system like that, then we end up where we are right now. And I've said this for years, that it's not just fraud that threatens our elections. It is the perception of fraud. And when we have secret vote counting and secret computer software and all of this stuff, it allows for exactly what we are seeing right now. And that's what I've been working so many years to avoid. Not necessarily the fraud, but the people who can claim there is a fraud and there's no way to defend against it. That, in and of itself, is a grave threat to democracy. I've been trying to say that. I think you can attest to that these years, Nicole.
Yes, I can.
And this is exactly what I have been worried about for 20 years, and we're seeing it in action. And the only way to ever overcome that is to make the entire voting system transparent and overseeable by the public. Because the Republicans may be full of shit in their claims here, but they have reason to make these claims because we've allowed this to happen.
Yeah. And you know what? If we don't take back control and get these people out of office, this is who will be making decisions for us.
The massive influence of communist money through Venezuela, Cuba, and likely China, and the interference with our elections here in the United States, the Dominion voting systems, the Smartmatic technology software, and the software that goes in other computerized voting systems here as well, not just Dominion, were created in Venezuela at the direction of Hugo Chavez to make sure he never lost an election after one constitutional referendum came out the way he did not want it to come out.
Okay, so there's your choice. A future of democracy where we stand a chance, or that? I guess that's what we're left with.
I say we take away the ability for loons and, just clowns like Sidney Powell to be able to make those claims at all in the first place.
Please.
And that's how you got to do it. You got to get the vendors out. You have to unprivatize our public elections.
Brad Friedman, from your mouth to, I don't know who's ever in charge. I have one last question.
Hugo Chavez is yours.
So I've heard Donald Trump say that this was fraud from the highest levels. Really? Then who? Because who's higher than the president? If there was fraud, widespread fraud, who was running the show? Who was the mastermind behind it? Who did this fraud? Who?
Well, duh. Obviously, George Soros. The man you and I and everyone else get our paycheck from each week.
Of course.
Obviously.
I forgot.
Duh. Don't play innocent, Nicole.
Thank you, Brad Friedman. How could I forget? George Soros. How else could this end? Of course. With George Soros. Oh, my goodness. Big thanks to Brad Friedman for hanging with me for almost an hour on Saturday afternoon. That's when we recorded that. I told you there was a big finish coming up. Well, I told the people in the chat room. I don't know where we go from here. It ain't over till it's over. And we haven't sung yet. Oh, my God. All right. So with that, there you have it. I'm still waiting for my check, George, by the way. Tomorrow, Gotta Laugh will be here. I got nothing more to add. We'll talk about all the other stuff that happened tomorrow. Thank you for joining us, for being here. We'll see you tomorrow with Laffy. Bye, everyone. Keep the faith.